I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Our discussion may raise some questions in your mind. And if any of the issues in today's episode sound like something you'd like to discuss with me, at the end of the show, I'll let you know how you can connect with me. We would really appreciate your helping others learn the tips that we share on Smashing the Plateau. Please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. And it would help a great deal if you leave a review on iTunes, because we want you and others like you to succeed in business and life. And when you leave a review or you share the episode, it helps other people find the show. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Cliff McLarty. Cliff wrote his first business plan in the sixth grade, and he wanted to be the CEO of a major corporation. However, life had a different direction for Cliff. Cliff went into partnership in 1988, which did not pan out. And in 1990, he received notice that he had only $2.45 to his name. With a young family and working five jobs between his wife and himself, this became the defining moment in his life. Real estate was Cliff's passion, and so he started to read, study, and implement certain no-money-down investment strategies. Cliff, a Navy veteran, retired at age 45, and today calls North Carolina and Florida home, depending on the season and if the fish are biting. Cliff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David.
It's really great to have you on. You have such a great story that I think is one that many people both face and fear at the same time. And I wondered if we could talk about this defining moment in your life, because the reason that many people have great difficulty smashing the plateau is fear. Fear of ending up with $2.45 to their name and having bills to pay at the same time. And how are they going to get through that?
Well, I tell you what, I don't know if I had a plateau or not. I would really call it the basement. We were in dire straits at that time. When you're a young family, and all your blood, sweat, and tears were going into a business. And unfortunately, when the other partners, I should say, takes advantage of that, then you kind of start second guessing yourself. I remember very well that Tuesdays were our big nights. We were able to go get 50-cent movies for the children. And one time a month, we were able to take them to McDonald's for the 99-cent meals. That's how bad we were. Bless my wife's heart, she worked and worked and worked. And she was the glue that held us all together. But in all of this, of course, we have a very strong belief system in our family, within each other and to a higher authority. And with that, something kind of ignited within me. I said, I just have to do something. It also reminded me of a time I was on the I was on a Navy aircraft carrier as a defense contractor, and we literally rolled over a Soviet submarine. And what really comes to mind is when the man came over the loudspeaker and said, "Imminent nuclear release," your life does literally flash before you. And what do you do with your fears? You have to face them straight on. Hangar Bay was on fire. You have to go out and fight the fire because your home is floating in the middle of the ocean. Those are the type of things that I was kind of taught as a young person. My father was military also. And he said, "Son, if you ever come across a problem that you cannot take on head on, you will have a problem that will take you down." So he said, always take your problems head on. So with that, we worked, we read. I remember very vividly getting the Robert Allen Nothing Down book out of a closet that I literally threw in the closet 35 years earlier, or right at 30 years earlier. And it sparked. And I studied it, literally studied it that night. I did not go to sleep. woke up my wife the next morning and said, this is what we're doing. And from that point on, it was full steam ahead.
Cliff, how important do you think it is to have support from a life partner when you're going through the downs and ups of entrepreneurship?
You have to have that support system. And we have, just to let you know, yesterday we celebrated 40 years of marriage.
Congratulations.
Well,
that's
thank
awesome.
You. Thank you. You know, we kind of look back and say, where did the time go? And literally, in talking about it yesterday, we took a ride up on the Blue Ridge Parkway. I mean, and we didn't do the real fancy things. We're not fancy people. We're very down to earth. We had a hot dog and hamburger as our anniversary meal. But just getting out, being together, and talking about life, we come to the conclusion that without each other, we would have been nowhere. And I say that we both come from very humble families. We both strive for more in life than what we had. But at the same time, we're very grounded. Back when you were introducing me, you said that I wanted to be or the bio said I wanted to be a CEO of a major corporation, which I did. I looked at all the big name people at that time, saw how much money they were making, and that's what was driving me, was the money. Money doesn't drive me anymore. It's really what I get out of life. It's the quality of life. You know, you can only achieve what your heart desires, not what your brain desires, but what your heart desires. And I had a niece ask me the other day, well, what should I really do in life? And I says, if you find your passion, work your passion, and you'll never work another day in your life, which was real estate for me. I have worked many 20 and 30 hour days, and I have never worked a day in my life. But my wife has always been there. She's always supported me. She's always said, you can do it. And even the times that I just come home frustrated and said, you know, I'm just going to give up. She says, no, you're not, because you will not. That's not in your character, which she has a good point. Once I'm like a pit bull. Once I grab a hold of something, I just don't let it go. And I will fight and work until I get through with it.
Now, not every entrepreneur is blessed with the kind of relationship with a life partner that you and your wife have. What advice do you have for entrepreneurs who don't have that kind of life partner?
I would suggest people looking for networks. When I first started real estate, I found a group in Asheville, North Carolina, which is called the Carolina Real Estate Investors Association, which I became very active in. These are people that have the same mentality as I did. They talk the same language as I did, and they had the same passion that I did. Those people, and I remember one very particular individual, older man, who said, you know, you'll never go broke making a profit. And I kind of scratched my head and I said, wait now, that's kind of idiotic. But the more I thought about it, it was very profound. Essentially, he was saying, don't ever make dumb decisions. Always make a profit. And, you know, you'll do okay. And he taught me a lot of things during my time up there in the association. But it was the network of people. People were coming from South Carolina, from other parts of North Carolina, from Tennessee, to come to these meetings to learn. And those were the people I wanted to learn from also. So networking with other like individuals is a crucial point.
That's great advice. And Cliff, where does your passion in real estate come from?
You know, I guess from growing up, my two favorite games were Risk and Monopoly.
Okay, I guess that answers the question.
You know, and I was very good at both. I was good at Risk in negotiating truces with everyone so that I could come around on their flank and take them over later on. But at the same point. In Monopoly, I was good at money management. And to this day, I still enjoy those two games.
Talk to me a little bit about the learning aspect of what you went through as you started to get into real estate and how that may have been so important for you.
Actually, just as an entrepreneur, you know, you always want to do the next and greatest, best thing in the world. But I kind of took it a little bit backwards. When I was going across the stage at my high school graduation, the principal then covered his microphone, leaned over to me and said, "You will never amount to anything." Now, people in your audience would probably say, "There's no way a principal said that to an individual." Yes, he did. And to this day, I think that is a fire for my education. I am always trying to learn something. I am always educating. I love to research. Real estate just happened to be something in my DNA that it just motivated me. I was always intrigued to see a piece of property that where somebody would want to bulldoze it, but someone else would come in, fix it up, and make just a ton of money on it. And a very good example of that is the house we live in today. The people on either side of us wanted to bulldoze it, and we happened to come in, buy it. And today, you know, both of our neighbors just are in awe as to what it looks like and how we could have taken an ugly duckling and turned it into a swan. So once you find your passion, everything you look at, whether it's books, videos, the internet, people, that becomes your conversation. I can talk to you today for 24 hours about real estate, and it wouldn't bother me to go on to another 24 hours. But once your passion takes over your life, then it becomes your life. When we go on vacation, I'm looking at real estate.
So looking a little deeper at this issue of constantly learning and trying to figure out how to do the next great thing with your passion, how do you determine what the best way is to invest your time and money in education as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be where you are in your life. Like when we were at $2.45, and that is a real number. Our focus and our fire was we had to have money for our children. So I looked at ways to teach myself how to invest with little or no money down. I mean, that was the only way we could do anything. So we started talking to owner financing people, lease options, what have you. You know, you might be in a different situation in your life where you're looking at, well, how do I get my business to the next level? Well, then you have to educate yourself as far as direction. You know, are you stuck there because of just your thinking, or are you letting other people come into your group of management and offer ideas? You know, I do find a lot of entrepreneurs, we're kind of stubborn animals. When we get a business going, that's our baby. And typically when other people come in and offer suggestions, we say, no, this is the way I'm going to do it because this is the way I'm going to do it. But what I have found is if the entrepreneur will kind of open themselves up and let other ideas come in, sometimes those other ideas really open up or let the light in, I should say, and gives you more of a direction to overcome roadblocks. You know, entrepreneurs are the world's worst CEOs from a generic terminology. We have our baby and we want to control it. But the CEO has to give direction and then let others carry it from there. The CEO has to give the overall vision of the company, which entrepreneurs do. However, they have to learn to delegate. Entrepreneurs do not like to delegate. We like to be in control. And it's typically a lot of type A people, which I know I am. But as far as educating yourself, I think it's really where you are in your business life or in your life itself as to what avenue you're going to go down. And it really falls back to networking with people. Other people have the same issues. I really don't think there's too many things in life that hasn't been tried, hasn't been failed at, and hasn't been reaccomplished. So once you find, and with the internet, you can find forums and blogs and people such as yourself, David, that offer these avenues for people to, new people coming up to educate themselves and hear where other people have been and say, that's where I need to go. And then they go and focus on that learning avenue.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Cliff. I think the internet has made it so much easier to connect with people who are facing similar kinds of issues or have faced similar kinds of issues and have really worthwhile advice to offer us.
Well, it's I think what's really interesting about the internet from a research standpoint, the internet has allowed me to instantaneously find out things where in the past, and I remember vividly this in my economics 2 class in college, my professor says, don't learn everything I'm going to tell you. And, from a professor, I kind of was scratching my head. He says, do not try to memorize everything I'm telling you. He says, but understand where to go get the information. You will have much more area in your brain to do things with, which was very profound. Here's a professor saying, don't take in everything I'm giving you and regurgitate it back to me on a test, but learn all these volumes and volumes of information. Nowhere to go get the information.
Mm-hmm. Nowhere to get the answers.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is very profound. And I think it is an unusual approach for somebody who's a teacher.
Yes, and that's what kind of, threw me aback. Now, my accounting professor, he was the complete opposite, which that was more of a technical aspect, too. I had to know that, which I enjoyed. Accounting, I would tell people, do take an accounting class because numbers don't lie. You always hear the adage, what do you want your numbers to say? But the numbers will tell you the direction of your company. And they will tell you when to do certain things. Matter of fact, when the real estate bust came in 2006 and 2007, people didn't really feel it until 2007 and 2008. But our numbers were tracking that in 2005, we actually started pulling out of the real estate market. Because I told my wife, I have a feeling about something. The numbers are doing some weird things. And I think something's about to happen. Well, we were about 2 years early, but we didn't lose anything either. And we are just now getting back in. People say, well, you're missing the big swings. Well, I don't look for the big swings. I look for comfortable investing.
Yeah, numbers don't lie.
They don't.
So, Cliff, I wondered if we could talk a little bit about this issue you mentioned of opening yourself up. And it seems to me what I'm hearing from you is if you are at a plateau in business, that as an entrepreneur, our tendency is very often not to open ourselves up. And if we do open ourselves up, that's when we can we have a better chance of smashing the plateau.
Yes. And I would agree with that. You're an island of your own demise, really, as an entrepreneur. You look into yourself as to, well, this was my idea. I'm going to grow it. And it's I. Whereas if you turn that outwardly and you allow people to come in and say, give me your ideas, This is what I did when I was actually working corporate management. I had a different management style than most managers, most directors. I literally gave my team or my department, I said, look, here's where we have to be. How do we get there? I never said, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to take it on. I always said, how do you want to do it? And once you do that, you know, multiple heads are much better than one. And you, at that point, you start getting ideas coming to you. I say, well, let's try it this way. Let's try it that way. One little story about that. I told my people, I do not want them to be straight A producers. And, you know, out of sales meetings, you don't usually hear that. I said, I want you to be an 85 percenter for me, which is a solid B person. And they would scratch their heads and go, what do you mean 85%? And I say, well, think about it this way. It's the old tortoise and hare scenario. If you're at 100% all the time, something's going to trip you up and you're going to fall back or you're going to burn out. I want a plotter. I want somebody that's come in every day, gives their 85%, goes home, comes back the next day. You do that over and over and over. The long term comes into focus much easier. I did have another manager that was quite opposite me, and she was a perfectionist. Her people were always under the whip, and her husband literally came to me at one of our meetings and asked me to talk to her. Well, after I had left the company, she literally had a breakdown. She burned out. So, you know, yes, you have certain people that are shining stars and you let them run. But all in all, just open yourself up to other ideas and just be calm about it. You don't have to prejudge anyone's actions. A lot of times people just want to get in and prove that they're worthy to be there. I know there's political ramifications and political people that are out there wanting to come into businesses and get to the top. I understand all that. But at the same time, there's other people that just want to come in, do a job, and do a good job, and just maintain a life.
Mm-hmm. And be recognized for it.
And be recognized for it. Exactly. A good pat on the back will get you much more productivity than beating somebody. I'm not a browbeater, and I never have. And one thing I would tell the people, I said, I'm going to give you enough rope to hang yourself, because if you do it, you'll understand you did it. I didn't do it.
Well, Cliff, it sounds like you've done a remarkable job of making entrepreneurship work well for you. I wondered if we could turn the tables a little bit, and could you mention, is there somebody you could mention who you think has done a remarkable job at smashing the plateau?
There is one individual that comes to mind. He was a neighbor of mine for many years, and we both were coming up in the corporate world. And we would look across the road from time to time at 1 and 2 in the morning. We'd see our lights on, so you know, I'd get a call on the cell phone. What are you doing up? Mm-hmm. And I'd ask him the same thing. Working on a big proposal, working on a project, what have you. His name is David Beaver. He's an IT specialist, networking and security. He is he works for a consulting company now over in Raleigh, North Carolina. But I've seen that young man come up working for hospitals and working for other consulting companies. He came out of the technical field. He's now in the management field, but he's such a good blend of both. And he is very much like I am as far as being a quote-unquote boss. He lets his people, he gives his people the goal, and then he lets his people perform to the goal. He doesn't demand the goal. And there's a big difference there. So he's very good at what he does. And, I'd like to give him a good pat on the back, too, because he has deserved it.
Sounds like a great example. So, Cliff, now that you are, quote unquote, retired as an entrepreneur, we can talk about what that actually means. How do you spend your time, and what do we have to look forward to in the near future from you?
Okay, my time right now, like I said earlier, we went and purchased an offshore fishing boat. So we do a lot of offshore fishing. We do a lot of camping. And I work on my 1935 Pontiac hot rod. Now, other than that, I pretty much do what I please. But, you know, as we had talked earlier, David, an entrepreneur never really stops. I'm always looking for the next idea. I'm always listening to conversations.
So for listeners who may want to learn more about some of the things that we've talked about today, or may want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to follow you, to learn more about you, or if you'd like for them to get in touch with you?
They can email me if they would like at 50cliff50@gmail.com. That's 50cliff50@gmail.com.
Okay, great. And we'll include that in the show notes as well.
Okay.
Well, Cliff, this has been a really fascinating discussion about really the ups and downs, or the downs and ups of entrepreneurship, leadership, management, all the skill sets that are required to do well as somebody who runs his own business. So I appreciate your coming on and telling some anecdotes and some stories about your own experiences, your own life, and sharing them with our listeners today. My guest today has been Cliff McLarty, who calls himself a retired entrepreneur, but as Cliff has said, he's always looking for the next idea. Thank you again, Cliff, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. What has your experience been getting help when you've hit a plateau? What would you like to learn through this podcast that would give you the support you need? Let's continue the discussion. Connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter, and please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. It would also help a great deal if you would write a review on iTunes so that new people can find us. I hope you've enjoyed what you've learned. I know your time is precious, and I want to thank you for spending some of it with us today.